tell us how you came to the Louisville Orchestra and maybe specifically as the concertmaster.
Well, I was in my final year in grad school at Indiana University, and I was noticing job opportunities that were out there. And I noticed the Louisville Orchestra had, at the time, a position for assistant concertmaster. And it was being talked about among, you know, my friends. And I remember one of the guys saying, "Oh, yeah, that Louisville Orchestra, that's a great orchestra. That'd be a great job." And that kind of stuck in my mind. And I thought, you know, I'm going to send in an application there. So I did and took the audition and started out as assistant concertmaster. And then the next year, Peter McHugh resigned. And I moved in as acting concertmaster for a year and then moved into the position of concertmaster permanently the following year. Mm-hmm. So that was about 85 or 86, somewhere around there. So I've been here probably, 25 years at least now.
That's a terrific
I stopped
career.
Counting once I got close to 20.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
Just, I became a Louisville native at that point, almost in my mind.
Now, so, now, where are you from originally?
I'm from Alabama.
Okay.
And I tell you sort of what sort of flipped the switch in my mind that let me know I think of myself as being from Louisville now. I was in Washington, D.C., just touring some things with my brother. And I can't remember the name of the hotel now, but it's one of the well-known ones where presidents will often stay before they move into the White House when the president from before, like Bush, was still there. Then mm-hmm. Obama might have stayed here.
Mm-hmm.
But in the lobby, they have the seal of each of the 50 states somewhere painted on the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And as I went in, I started looking around, couldn't find the one I was looking for, and went mm-hmm. and asked the lobby attendant, "Where is Kentucky?" And he showed me, and it occurred to me after that I didn't look for Alabama. I wanted to know where Kentucky was. And that's when I knew I'm from Kentucky. I'm from Louisville.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, when folks see you walk out on stage, they see a man with a violin going to the empty seat. He faces the orchestra. An oboist intones the A, or he plays the A on the piano, depending on the situation. And then you sit down, and you're part of the orchestra. So tell us what that means to be a concertmaster and your act of walking out on stage before the conductor, and what that means historically and as a tradition in the orchestra.
Yeah, well, historically, orchestras were small enough that there was no need for a conductor. I think it was about Mendelssohn's time when conductors first started to take the podium and lead ensembles. Before that time, the entire performance would be led from the concertmaster's seat.
Mm-hmm.
So coming out as concertmaster in that time, of course, made a lot more, I don't know, sense, if you will. And then as orchestras got bigger, we started using conductors. But the role of the concertmaster is still a fairly prominent role. You are the liaison between the conductor and the orchestra. And as such, you have the opportunity to talk back and forth with the conductor in ways probably that the rest of the orchestra wouldn't feel comfortable doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's part of your responsibility, you know, to let him know things the orchestra are, you know, might be thinking, what's mm-hmm. clear, what's not, musical ideas and whatnot. So because of the tradition of the concertmaster, then the whole idea of the concertmaster coming out to tune the orchestra is sort of a tradition that's remained alive. And I mean, even when I'm not concertmaster, I enjoy that when I watch other orchestra concerts. I think it's a nice touch. Sort
mm-hmm.
of that's when the orchestra and the audience know it's time to begin.
Mm-hmm. What do you do outside of playing with the orchestra, playing violin?
Well, probably the thing that I love the most, when I'm talking about just a hobby that's away from the violin, would be fly fishing. I love fly fishing. And in fact, these long winters just kill me.
Yeah.
the snow, I mean, it's beautiful. Even the rain and when it's cold, it's okay, but the fishing is just not good. And so I go a little bit stir crazy waiting for that. And beyond that, I enjoy playing golf and used to play a lot of tennis. But then I had a serious injury with tennis elbow about 3 years ago. And it really caused me a lot of problems. So I don't attempt tennis anymore.
Well, with the elbow on your right arm being an important part of your body, I'm sure for the violin, you have to take it easy.
Oh, yeah. And playing the violin, the exact motions that you use, especially when you're playing rapid passages or mm-hmm. forte passages mm-hmm. with the bow, just sort of irritate mm-hmm. that same area where you have tennis elbow.
I can imagine that fly fishing and playing the violin are similar in some ways.
Well, actually, there are some similarities, and the connections there probably go deeper than I realize. Sort of the things that I love about both of those tie together in many ways.